welcome to Metaphysical Straight Talk from the Heart. I'm your host, Atera. And today's show is personally very special to me. When I was in my 20s and I reawoken my psychic gift, my husband's answer to helping me out was to give me a book called The Sleeping Prophet by Jesse Stern. And that began my love for Edgar Cayce. For the first time in my life, I was not alone in what was happening to me. And so it was, for me, a life-changing experience in that book. Several years later, I got the opportunity to actually go to the ARE in Virginia Beach. And for me, that was a surreal event, because for me, I was walking on hallowed ground as a reader, which was, in my mind, could never even happen that I would ever be reading and working with the ARE. And I was walking on the very ground of the founder, Edgar Cayce, who actually saved my sanity. And while there, I was fortunate enough to get to hear Kevin Tatachi lecture. Kevin is one of the ARE directors, and he is the editor-in-chief of Vitcher Inwood magazine. With the retirement of Charles Thomas Cayce on December 1st, he will become ARE's executive director and CEO. As both a student and teacher of the Edgar Cayce material for over 30 years, he has lectured on 5 continents in front of thousands of individuals. He is a prolific writer, and he is the author of more than 20 books, and including one of them that's my favorite, and that is Edgar Cayce on Soulmates. If you're my client, I've recommended that book to thousands of people because it's so real. It doesn't make it esoterically dreamy. It really tells you that, you know, there's work with soulmates. He is also nationally recognized for his work in dream interpretations and symbols. Kevin has taught thousands of students the art of dream interpretation, and he is the author of the definitive book on dream interpretation, dream image, and symbols. His most popular book is the Edgar Cayce book on the Akashic Records, and anyone who's ever read a Cayce book knows that's some of the major work, and Edgar Cayce's work is on Akashic Records and how that affects your life in the here and now. It is translated into seven languages. Nearly 20 years ago, Kevin was the first graduate of the Atlantic University with a master's in the master's program. And I want to welcome you to the show, Kevin, an amazing person. I have to tell you, I love the changes in Venture Inward.
Great. Well, Tara, thanks for having me on the program.
The changes in the magazine are phenomenal. I'm a life member. I love the ARE. And so tell me, how did you find Cayce? How did you get to Cayce?
Well, when I was living in Denver, Colorado, at the time, and when I was 16 years old, there was an article in the paper on the woman who had been hypnotized in 1954 and remembered a past life as Bridie Murphy, and her hypnotic regression sessions became the substance of the book, The Search for Bridie Murphy. And this was 20 years after that book had been a bestseller, and how this woman's life had changed because she lived in Colorado and some of the things that had happened to her. So that article in our regular paper led me to get the book, The Search for Bridie Murphy, and the first third of that book talks a great deal about Edgar Cayce, and that's really how I got started. The first book I read on Mr. Cayce was A Prophet in His Own Country, The Story of the Young Edgar Cayce by Jess Stern. But then all the other books that were available at the time I started to read, and in a very short period of time I decided that eventually I was moving to Virginia Beach and I was going to work at ARE. And that was
you fulfilled your life dream.
I fulfilled my life dream.
And you started so young, 16. That's awesome.
So the case material has been a part of my life for the last 33 years.
Wow. That's that is amazing, you know, synchronicity to fall into it so young and then really go for your dream. And now, wow, you'll be the CEO of the ARE.
Well, actually, it happened last December. 1st.
Oh, did it? Okay, well.
I didn't say the most update, but that's what happened last December.
That was on the bio, and it didn't say the date, so I wasn't sure if it was coming up.
Yeah.
I thought it had when I looked at Venture Inward. The journey for you has to be incredible, because I know for me, once I read that one Cayce book, I had to have it all. You know, I was insatiable about reading everything I could get my hands on. And I'm sure for you it was very much similar.
It was. In fact, at the time, this is in the 70s, the most popular books at the time were really the Warner paperbacks that were Edgar Cayce on a variety of subjects. everything from Edgar Casey on diet and health to Edgar Casey on the Dead Sea Scrolls to Edgar Casey on reincarnation. And I would say that probably I found 35 to 40 books at the time and just devoured them and read some of them multiple times. And, I mean, at the time, I never really fathomed the possibility that eventually the entire corpus of Casey readings would be available anywhere in the world, and now they're available online with the computer age, and as a member, you can access them anywhere. And when I was reading these books, the only place they existed was in Virginia Beach, Virginia.
At the Sacred Library. I love that library.
Like you, I wanted to get to Virginia Beach, but now they're available all over the world, and there's Edgar Casey centers in 35 countries and activities in 70 countries and regional offices all over the United States. So,
yeah, I really encourage people to go to the website, which is www.edgarcasey.org, and or to become a member of the ARI, because I'm a lifetime member, and it really gives you access to that incredible ongoing knowledge that exists in those documented readings. You know, that's the one thing about him and Ellen Garrett. They actually documented a lot of their things, and in that time period when there really wasn't a lot of tape recording, it's pretty amazing that the records were kept so articulately.
Right, and actually I had the privilege of working with Edgar Casey's secretary, Gladys Davis, for a number of years before she passed away in her 80s. But she,
okay, I'm jealous now, Kevin.
Yeah, she had meticulously kept track of everything, and just an amazing woman, and so because of her efforts, really, Casey's still considered the most documented psychic of all time. And what we do, I think this still makes our work so exciting, is we bring together people who are doing similar work or talking about similar topics in the contemporary world. So this weekend, for example, Julia Cameron, the author of The Artist's Way, is doing a program at ARE, and a couple of weeks, Daniel Brinkley and John Holland are doing a program, and
I got to talk about them, because Dan, if you have not heard, I just actually interviewed Kimberly Clark Sharp about near-death experience.
She's been in the programs before, right?
That she is doing at CBEC for ARE, because
right.
She said, you know, ARE is not just in Virginia Beach. It's a wonderful thing about the ARE Association has really got other doors open across the United States and all over the world. But Danny and Brinkley is an amazing, when you hear him talk about his near-death experience, he's actually phenomenally funny, as well as if you have not heard John Holland, he's a fabulous medium. I know him personally. He's an amazing medium. So if you get the chance to go back and or go online and see the lineup of programs that the ARE facilitates, it's so valid.
Well, thanks for that. But we do really try to bring people in from all over, and it's an exciting place to work, that's for sure. It's never boring.
Well, one of the other things that I think is very... for me, was overwhelming the library that you have there. It's really, you have collections from all over the world. Because at the time I got the chance to work with Carol Lazarus and Henry Reed, I got to use the library upstairs to do readings, and they had a room where they had this collection of this man's work from England, his life work on Atlantis. It just blew my mind.
The Egerton Sykes collection. Actually, Mr. Casey mentioned Atlantis in approximately 1,000 readings, and except for Casey, few people are aware of the number of sources that talk about it. Certainly Plato talked about it, but Egerton Sykes spent his lifetime traveling around the world getting books on various languages in Atlantis, and before he died, we purchased the collection. We have about 2,000 books in, I believe it's 12 different languages, dealing with Atlantis. And so it's quite an extensive collection that we have in Virginia Beach.
And what I love about the Association for Research Enlightenment, the ARE, is that it really does open its doors to people who are researching books, writing their own books, to use that library as a resource, to connect and use the information, like you said, now is on a CD. It's available on CDs, Edgar Casey's work, so that they can use cross-references in their material. Your books on dream, and in fact, I don't know how I missed this book, Kevin, but your book on soul signs, life seals, and aura charts, fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
How I missed it, and I just got it, and I've been perusing it, it's amazing. Because I'd seen hanging in the hallway one of the life seals. It was a fabulous, fascinating thing. And so there's this book that you've written, it's phenomenal.
Well, thank you. Casey did quite a bit of work on symbolism, as you've mentioned, in addition to about 900 readings on dream interpretation. And he was really encouraging regular people, not just therapists, but regular students, business people, housewives, everybody to work with their dreams. And so there's a wealth of material on dream interpretation readings. And in fact, we've got on our website, we've got about 3,000 dreams that I've interpreted over the years posted where people send in their dreams, we interpret it, and the interpretation's there. So people are practicing dream interpretation.
So you're leaving your legacy, too. That's wonderful.
Well, and I'm also leaving dream interpretation because I got too many other things to do now. But it has been a great tool for helping people learn more about themselves.
Well, I think most people really think of Edgar Cayce, or when you first read the Edgar Cayce material, you really think of him as the person who goes to sleep and diagnosed, so really one of the first medical intuitives, and who, you know, for him it was a tough journey because he really came from a very religious background in Kentucky, I believe, is where he was born, isn't that true?
In Hopkinsville, Kentucky.
Yeah, I couldn't remember the name. And really was not very highly educated. He was a self-educated man. And so really had an inner struggle of what was happening to him. And then he could almost accept that he could do this going to sleep and help people with the medical things. And then all of a sudden people start asking other questions and the Akashic records start showing up and reincarnation starts showing up, which really had to be a huge struggle with his faithful background.
And Atlantis and all kinds of things. And also the fact that he had to go to sleep every time and was not conscious of what he had said and then had to look at it or be told about it when he woke up, I'm sure that was a real challenge for him as well because he didn't feel like he had any control over it. But, you know, by working with the information over time and by working with the concept of reincarnation over time, and let's keep in mind that this is, you know, 100 years ago when he started.
Yeah, this is in a time when, you know, probably with the exception of a little bit of work from the 1800s and the spiritualists, it wasn't a common everyday thing to go into trance.
No, and to talk about
acceptable.
Some of these topics, the exception of, you know, some of the Eastern religions and then the unity movement out of Missouri, this was really unheard of for the Western world.
Well, I think the spiritualist movement out of Hyattville, New York was also in the 1800s, so that was there. But truly, you know, you've got to remember the time period where, you know, books and things were not as accessible. You know, now we have the Internet at our fingertips, so we hear about things so fast, I mean, almost instantaneously, where if he was in a small town, even if they had a library, you're busy living, trying to make a living. You don't have a lot of time to hang out and do things, you know, read in the library necessarily, or sometimes even struggle with that because he struggled with his reading and his ability and fell asleep on a book. That's one of his famous things.
Right, and he, I mean, at the time, Virginia Beach was a very small resort community. When they moved here, I don't know if you remember the oceanfront, which is now littered with hundreds, if not thousands, of houses. There were
And hotels.
There were five homes along the oceanfront, and they were all summer cottages. And you could buy land, Edgar Cayce's youngest son has told me, for $100 an acre on the oceanfront, but nobody had $100. So it was a very poor town, very small, and even up until 1960, there was only 1,000 people in Virginia Beach itself. Now we are the largest city in the state. We have 450,000 people. And actually, that was one of Cayce's predictions, that Virginia Beach would skyrocket and that the Norfolk area would become one of the largest seaports on the East Coast, and in fact, that has happened.
Well, for him, too, I think it had to be a tremendous leap of faith because he was a very humble man, a very, you know, like I said, came from Kentucky to move to Virginia Beach on really information gained in the readings. Had to be a huge leap of faith. I wanted to, you to talk a little bit also about the Atlantic University, because that's an aspect of the area I don't know a lot about, but I know that it's one of the few places that really teaches a large variety, a cross-section of metaphysics.
They do. Let me just back up a little bit and say that one of the hallmarks of the Cayce material was he really was interested in enabling people to make research any topic themselves or become educated on any topic themselves, to apply it and then to reach personal enlightenment. So it was really about personal research and enlightenment more than anything else. And based on that premise, we have our year-round conference programs all over the world. And based on that premise, we have two schools. We have a Casey Riley School of Massage Therapy, which is actually one of the most popular massage schools on the East Coast. We have a waiting list to get into the curriculum where people come and learn a 700-hour massage curriculum based on concepts in the Casey readings and body work by one of the individuals that Casey recommended people go to at the time, Dr. Harold Riley. And that's a real popular school, offers a certificate program and is accredited by COMPTA, the Massage Association.
And the book, I love it, Handbook to Health Through Drugless Therapy.
Yeah, that was Dr. Riley's book.
That is that's my Bible on health things, I have to tell you. For my listeners, you need to own that book and the Encyclopedia to Health. Both
actually, the
fabulous.
Interesting news happened about a month ago in that the People's Republic of China notified us after a great deal of effort on some people's part that they were publishing the Edgar Casey Handbook for Health Through Drugless Therapy into mainstream Chinese in China and would be distributing it throughout the country. So that is an interesting happening. And actually, one of Casey's predictions was that civilization would move to China and that China would become basically, essentially, the height of civilization eventually. And when he was talking about that in the 30s and 40s, it seemed pretty far-fetched. But
especially since they were just getting over the wars.
Right. And now, I mean, it's been estimated that by 2010, China becomes the world economic power. So certainly Casey's always... Even now, years after his death, the Casey material is relevant and has meaning. But to get back to your question about Atlantic University now, Atlantic University offers a master's degree program in transpersonal studies. We're in the midst of creating more degree options, and we definitely have certificate tracks, like you could get a master's degree in transpersonal studies with a track related to conflict resolution. So military people who are interested in a master's degree are often interested in that track, conflict resolution.
Now, to enter this, you already have to have a degree. That's my understanding. So you should.
Well, kind of. To enter it and get a master's.
To get a master's, yeah.
You have to have a bachelor's. But
right,
anyone
right.
can take courses as an audit. So you wouldn't necessarily take it towards a master's, but anybody, even with no education, could take any of the courses. Like we have one of my favorites when I did it was our course on comparative religious studies, where you spend a semester studying Islam, studying Buddhism, studying Judaism, and studying Christianity, and just seeing the many similarities between each of those faiths.
I want to mention the website, www.edgarcasey.org, and also to look into ordering Venture Inward, because this book, this magazine has so many things in it every month. I never let them go. I've just recently started being able to let them go so other people can enjoy them after me. But I go back and reread things and look for, you know, resources. So it's a wonderful, Venture Inward is a wonderful magazine.
And you may not be aware of this, Atira, but the members-only section of the website, if you're a member, you can, of course, get into it. It has every Venture Inward magazine since its inception online, and you can...
Oh, my husband will love you, because now he says I can let go of some of those. I can just go back and look there.
Yeah, it's a searchable database. So if you remember that John Holland was mentioned in an article, you could put in John Holland, for example, and it would pull up every article where he was ever mentioned.
You know, the Internet is such a blessing, really, truly. The libraries are shrinking, you know, in some ways, because it's right there at our fingertips. But it's such a blessing, because people all over the world now can have access to this incredible knowledge. I want to talk a little bit about... Your book on soulmates, I have to tell you, Kevin, I have ever since it came out, I've recommended it. When I read that book, I thought, oh, thank you, God, that book, everybody gets this illusion of what a soulmate is, you know, the perfect person, you're never going to have any problems. And when I read that book, it's the realism in it, you know, like, okay, this is what it could really mean. And I have recommended it to thousands and thousands of clients.
It continues to be one of Aries' most popular books, and I think Casey suggested that anyone with whom we have an emotional connection, good or bad, you know, really challenging or really inspired by, that person is a soulmate, and that as long as we have emotional connection to that individual, we will continue to draw ourselves to that person in some kind of a relationship.
Well, and truly, we have soul groups. It's not
right.
just the one soulmate, and that's all you get out there, guys. You get the opportunity to meet many, many people in your life that are part of your soul group and part of the journey. So the other book that I don't actually think I've read this one on Akashic Records. I have to have, because I have almost every book. But I know there's several books on his, on Akashic Records that he's written, or almost all of his books mention something about that.
All the books basically talk about the Akashic Records or Akashic Records as the source of information of all his information related, especially to the past. And the book is just really an overview of how each and how not only Edgar Cayce could read the Akashic Records, but how. In fact, we all do. We just don't know that we do that. And in terms of the past, we've all had the experience where we meet someone for the very first time and we have an immediate affinity with that person, or we meet someone for the first time and we just don't like that person and we don't know why. Cayce would say that we're actually tuning into our own Akashic Records and picking up the emotional content of our previous relationship with that person. And that's where we start from. We don't start with a clean slate. We start where we left off. And from Cayce's premise, until all of our, I usually call them memory patterns, the karmic memory patterns, until all those memory patterns are written with unconditional love, we have to keep coming back to the earth. So many of us will be here for a very long time to come because there's some memory patterns that we really need to work on cleaning up.
Yeah, our BS, our belief systems get stuck sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating to me. Now, you've been working with in the Cayce stuff for over 33 years and been at Virginia Beach most of that time. I'm sure you've seen the evolution of the area a lot. When I was there, it was going through a metamorphosis, and I really noticed it has a new labyrinth, which is amazing. It's beautiful. The buildings are changing. You know, it's a whole kind of new era. I think this is the first time in a very long time that it has not been a Cayce running ARE,
right.
Because it was his children and then grandchildren, and the family's been very, very involved in keeping the legacy going, and so it's a different generation. That's
it is,
happening.
And we still have Edgar Casey's youngest son, is Edgar Evans Cayce, who will be 90 next February. He's still on our board.
That youngster there.
Yeah, and Charles Thomas Cayce, Edgar Cayce's grandson. Just retired last December. He's still on our board. So we have two.
And there was Leslie Cayce, too, correct?
Leslie Cayce was Charles Thomas's wife. She was manager of our conferences for a long time, and she retired when he did.
Well, they think they're going to have a life other than the legacy and the dad's business here.
Right, and they're still very much devoted and connected to the work, but they were hoping for some retirement here.
Well, I think that's wonderful because they do deserve to have a life that's outside of the area as well. I mean, it's, you know,
right.
They certainly have, I feel, dedicated almost all of their life, their childhood, every part of themselves to that absolute legacy and making it grow. But it is also exciting to have someone who has done it by choice. This is your choice. You love the area. You have put your life into it and really been, cut your teeth on the Edgar Cayce material.
We have so many exciting things coming up in the next...
tell us about them.
We had one of the things I had us do at the first of this year is we started a Spanish publishing company called Libros Illuminados, which is a division of ARE Press. And our first book in Spanish is out. It's basically Angels and Archangels and the Invisible Forces is the English title. But it's
and who is that by?
It's by Rob Grant.
I thought it was. Yeah, I've read his work. He's very nice.
And it's translated into Spanish. And we're getting ready to do a book called Mystery Man of Miracles by Joseph Millard in Spanish. And by the end of the year, we'll have 3, 4, maybe 5 titles in Spanish that are distributed by Ingram's distribution company. So that's great news. We've launched websites in Chinese, French, and Spanish in addition to our English site and are getting ready to expand our Chinese publishing program, at least online. Then next year I hope we can start a Spanish membership online. We're first of the year we're launching an online membership for the international community, like especially English-speaking countries like India and Australia and the United Kingdom and so forth. They're interested in our articles in Venture Inward and on the newsletter they get, but the postage cost is prohibitive. So we're going to right now everything's being created electronically, so they'll be able to get Venture Inward and the newsletters electronically and have an online membership. So that's all happening.
That's exciting because, you know, really it is. I just ordered something from England. It was like, postage is
expensive.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm. Well, our Casey Riley School is so popular here in Virginia Beach, we're getting ready to open up another school west of the Mississippi, probably in Arizona or California. It'll be decided.
You used to have one in Arizona, I thought, years ago.
We had a clinic.
Clinic,
that
yes,
we worked
correct.
With. It was a separate legal organization.
Oh, okay.
But now we're getting ready to launch a Casey Riley School, and then we'll have an office of Atlantic University out of that as well.
That is exciting.
One of my dreams is to build a cafe on our ground so that our conferees don't have to go to a local hotel in between breaks. So we have plans for a Casey Cafe.
That would be wonderful. I haven't gone to conferences because you don't want to leave because you got so much, you know, you want to do the conference and you want to race up to the library and then you spend your money in the bookstore. Oh, gosh, I didn't even talk about the bookstore. For everyone that's listening, the ARE bookstore is the ultimate metaphysical bookstore. I have dropped so much money there. I loved it. I had a great time.
Well, and we do have our bookstore online, too. They can go to the website and see
and
that.
And you have the remedies. You have a lot of the things that are in that Handbook to Health or Douglas Therapy, the oils, the so many of the things that are hard to find in the world mm-hmm. are available there, and I guess now online, so I'm sure that's true. I have to tell you, save your money and go to one of the things at the ARE because it's such an experience.
And they, regardless of where your listeners live, we have programs throughout the country that you go to a retreat or a conference.
You can, but I have to tell you, saving and going to the ARE, and I want to tell you, one of the things I love the most about it, I mean, the library, everything was over, I was on sensory overload, but you know what, your volunteers, amazing.
We have a great volunteer.
Kevin,
in fact,
amazing volunteers. I got to do some drive-by woo-woo on them and to give many readings. Spiritual paybacks, I call them, while I was there. And it was so lovely because you have a ton of volunteers. They give tours at the ARE. They're amazing people.
They are. And, in fact, one of the things we started this year, really for the volunteers, was we started a volunteer call center because we had lots of volunteers who wanted something exciting to do. And, filing is not that exciting. And so in our customer service department, we have people trying to call in and buy something or get a membership or whatever, and then people want to call in and talk about a dream, and the customer service staff doesn't always have time to talk. So I tried to merge those two desires, and now whenever a call comes in, we transfer it over to our volunteer call center, and people can talk as long as they want. And
that's a blessing.
The volunteers
because
are there, and they can help with dreams and anything Casey might have said about a topic. And it's been just a wonderful experience for people calling in as well as the people volunteering.
Yeah. That's great, because I did not know that it happened. That's wonderful, because it is true. When you read a Casey book and you get aha and you call there, you know, you want to just talk to somebody for a minute about it, because
mm-hmm.
you're all jazzed up about it. So you have a lot of really amazing goals and dreams for where, you know, the ARE is going to go in the next 5 years even. It's a big, big undertaking.
We just, last year we started the ARE Helena Patty Day Camp for 6 weeks, which is for people older than 6 and younger than 17, and we have basically a day camp program. And it was so popular, this year we expanded to 11 weeks, and we have 18.5 acres in Southern Virginia Beach, and the goal is eventually to make it into a year-round camp that people in Virginia Beach can come to, or people coming to conferences can send their kids to, and it's just a great educational program for young people. Learning about life and who they are as spiritual beings from the Casey perspective.
Well, what's wonderful now, you know, when I, in my 20s, Edgar Casey, if you could find Edgar Casey and maybe a few other books, but really it was Edgar Casey and maybe Ruth Montgomery. But now we are truly in, it's beyond the new age. We're in this time where, you know, we're talking about indigo kids, and so they need camps like that. And ARE is a wonderful support system for parents that have these kids, because the parents may not be spiritual or understanding of metaphysics much and not have a foundation, but once they find the ARE, it's an unlimited resource for support of the parents to help raise these incredibly gifted kids.
Absolutely. In fact, I'm glad you brought that up, because on our website, there's a link for youth and family, and that there's so many things on the website you can take advantage of, even if you're not a member. And some of those links in deal with resources for parents about how to raise a psychic child, or how to talk to your child about God, or, I mean, just all kinds of wonderful resources that parents can use.
It, you know, and it's true, they really need them now, because I tell you, my mother was Southern Baptist, and she really didn't know what to do with me. When I started developing at a very young age, you know, her answer was, of course, take me to church and get me fixed, because she was afraid.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure Edgar or Casey went through that kind of in the Bible Belt himself, and I think that's one reason he really drove himself to read his Bible and to be connected with God, because when you don't understand the gift, you struggle with that. And he read the Bible once for every year he was alive, and I'm sure then some, because I think he was very, very connected to his commitment
with God.
He did,
and he was involved in his church, where teaching Sunday school, wherever he lived. And then what happened was, when the first biography, There Is a River, came out in 1943, here in Virginia Beach, it was known that biography had come out. And in the biography that talks about Casey's belief in reincarnation, well, basically, his church threw him out.
No, everything hit the fan. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was really depressed at that point.
And he started a group, though. He started the In Search of God group.
The Search for God group started in 1931, and now it's a worldwide program where people from every religion or no religion can get together and learn how to meditate, or talk about what's really referred to as Casey's 12 Lessons in Personal Spirituality, which...
The Red Book.
Like
we call it the Red Book.
Yeah. Cooperation, or knowing yourself, or working with love, all those various types of lessons he thought were really important for spiritual growth.
Well, the website to me is, you know, it's very important to give the website more than once, and it's www.edgarcaseydog.org, because that really, you can go into that website and really find lots of answers and find a lot more questions, and then call the ARE, and people are willing, so willing and so gracious when you call there to try and answer the questions, and if they can't, boy, I tell you, they get back to you, and that's almost unheard of in this day and time. So it's
right.
Wonderful how committed the people are at the ARE. And the incredible wealth, not just in the readings that you can now get on CDs, which have come down in price wonderfully, because when I was first a life member, it was quite expensive. And I want to talk about being a life member, because for me, it took me a long time to save the money, because it was at that time, I think, over $1,000. I don't even know what it is now to become a lifetime member. But it was such a part of what I needed to do for me.
Mm-hmm.
And really... made me feel like I was paying back Edgar Casey for all he'd given me to help support the ARE. And so there's lots of ways when you go on the website or you go to Venture Inward to help support this organization. And because it really pays everybody back, it is really leading to what I think is the most important thing, and that is a next generation of well-educated metaphysical people. In fact, one of your goals as an individual is to assist people to become enlightened, to be led into the enlightenment and the Aquarian age.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there's this that there's a misperception among some New Age people that if they live long enough or just wait long enough, eventually they'll wake up and we'll have peace on earth, goodwill to all. And I think that Casey would suggest that unless we're actually creating elements of that in our life right now, we're never going to live to see it. And so that's very much what I personally am committed to, and what the ARE is committed to. And lots of people become members of ARE and don't even know of some of our outreach programs. We send about 15,000 books free to prisons every year.
I was just going to say, prison program, fabulous program.
And we've had amazing correspondence from prisoners who have realized that they are not some victim, that they're responsible for the life they created, and that this material has turned them around somehow. We have a prayer outreach program all over the world. We have a worldwide prayer site that is non-denominational. If anybody's ever interested in ARE and wants to be a member, but they can't afford the $48 a year fee, which is what a regular membership is, we'll give them a membership. So we give away...
Give scholarships for a lot of things, which
is wonderful. Give away 600-800 memberships a year for people who are interested and just can't afford it. So we have the Internet alone. I mean, there's so many, there's over 3,000 pages on it that are free. You can just go to and access, if you have a health issue, you can look up what Edgar Cayce had to say about helping yourself with allergies, for example. And so the number of things we make available to people at no cost is just amazing. And just speaking of the Internet, the thing that's amazed me is it really happened last year for the first time. When Edgar Cayce was alive, he gave readings to about a total of 5,700 people during his lifetime, 5,700 readings, many of which had more than one reading. But last year on a given day, three times as many people come to the website on a given day than came to Edgar Cayce in his entire lifetime. So from all of
wow.
us, we get over 100,000 unique users a month off of our website.
What I have to say about Edgar Cayce, because he had really phenomenal life, past life even, when you talk about him, and he was Ra-Ta and all Egyptian lifetimes. I have an affinity for Egypt personally myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you look at the authors alone that have come to Edgar Cayce and have written books related to his, I mean, his legacy has expanded, you know, 10 times, 10 times, 10,000 times, you know. And today even his healing arts are going on, his understanding of the cause and effect, karmic issues in people's lives. His teachings are so still alive for so many and affecting lives. I mean, what a legacy on the other side to look down and see how profoundly, even though I know he inner struggled with this gift, to see how it's still affecting hundreds of thousands of people. In one day, like you said, to have the hits that were took him his lifetime to produce.
And like you say, he did struggle, and lots of times he didn't have money to put food on the table, and he made his career for a while as being a photographer, but then tried to turn to readings full-time, and sometimes it was a hard time finding people who wanted a reading. And one of the people who worked in his office for the last 7 years of his life, from 1938 to 1945, told me that on a number of occasions he would ask her, do you suppose this will ever amount to anything? You know, his work, does this will ever amount to anything? We're saving all these records. And
He struggled with it. And in fact, in his later years, was told not to give so many readings, that he was actually, you know, using up his life energy.
Right.
And he could not turn him away. He was a very generous man.
Well, when his biography, There Is a River, came out in 1940, end of 42, 43, and then Coronet Magazine, which was really like the Time Magazine of the day, the Look Magazine of the day, came out with a big article about him, he was trying to get caught up and help these people who were in need. He was booked 8 readings a day 2 years in advance, and he had a stroke, and that really put an end to his career, because he just wore himself out.
It's interesting to me when I look at the knowledge that I've gained and I use in my own work. The ARE has really supported a lot of other clairvoyants along the way, too. I really want to state that. You know, like I said, for me personally, my dream was always to come to the ARE. I was a life member, but, you know, I'm in Seattle, Washington. Virginia's a long ways away.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was a working person. I'm not a person with a lot of, abundance at the time or dream that I could ever make that happen. And I can remember when I got interviewed or got the chance to be reviewed. And ARE reviews their readers. I mean, they're tough. They review the readers. You have to have letters sent in on you. And at the time, I think there were 300 people being interviewed, readers. And then it was sorted through, and then you gave readings to other readers, which is, you know, always nerve-wracking. And so for me to be accepted by the ARE and get to go there to work a conference blew me away.
Yeah,
they have several readers. They do have referrals that have been field tested by the ARE. In fact, your wife is a reader.
She is. She's on our list. She is.
Yeah, it's amazing. And when I first came there, people say, "Oh, you kind of read like Mary Roach," and I
mm-hmm.
didn't know who that was. And I'm going, "Oh, okay." So when I found out it was your wife, I was like, "Oh my God!"
And
you know,
on the conference program,
I'm kind of like her. That's like the ultimate compliment. I was just blown away. And but you have some wonderful, wonderful readers. I've communicated and interviewed a few of them. So they do have even that resource if people want to get a read. Because I know everybody's looking for the next Edgar Cayce.
They are, and I
mean, and so far, I don't think you've found him yet.
No.
Or her.
And I think if Edgar Casey was alive, he would say that definitely, oftentimes in people's life, they could really use some additional psychic outside help because they get so caught up in their own issues or their problems that it's very hard to see clear of that.
But Edgar Casey also was very, very adamant about learning to interpret your dreams, learning
right.
to interpret your things, or even symbols and signs that come to you yourself, to be your own guru, to go in and ask your angels, guides, and masters those questions. Robert Grant, who we talked about earlier, who talks about, he wrote a book, Are We Listening to the Angels? You know, his work is very good on getting your own things, your dream books. It's good to go to lectures. It's good to go to workshops. But bottom line, we have to do our own homework.
Right, and
so,
I think that's really what our programs are geared to, that if you need help, we have a way to get it. But most of our programs are about, you know, we have a free meditation course on the website, which is a great way to get in touch with your...
Edgar Casey was big on meditation. The Aerie meditates every day at a certain time.
Actually, if you're on staff, we'll pay you to go to meditation.
Wow. That's the kind of employment I'm looking for.
If you're on staff, we'll pay you to go get a massage once a week for an hour.
I have to tell you, the Aerie, I booked it at 2 extra days when I went out there so I could go have an Aerie massage. And it was wonderful. I mean, the clinic is totally professional, totally just so, the people were so kind, the energy was wonderful. So there's so many benefits if you actually get to the beach to experience. There's just so many aspects. You really need 2 weeks, I'm telling you. If you go for a conference, you need 2 weeks because... I spent 3 days in the library. It wasn't enough. And then there's the whole clinic thing you got to do, and now you're going to have food on site, which will be absolutely a benefit.
Well,
and then there's a bookstore, so you don't want to miss any of it.
Absolutely. So there's always something to do at ARA.
Do you have, I know in the Venture Inward, a list of, like, the conferences that are available so people have time to save towards it. I'm assuming on the website you also have that listing, plus I'm sure other places in the United States that ARE is very active, because I think people don't think, they think of, oh, I read the book on Edgar Casey, I read a related book, and I want to go to the ARE there, but we really have resources in our own backyard. For Seattle, we happen to have CBAC happen once
right.
a year.
And
or maybe
actually, on the website, which you referred to a number of times, there's a link on the left that says conferences, and then the two links are Virginia Beach or regional, and the regional is organized by state, and then the Virginia Beach is organized by month of the year. And we usually have 2 or 3 conferences a month year-round in Virginia Beach, and we have about 150 regional programs a year throughout the country in various places.
So you can become a member of the ARE, and it's about $45, I think you said.
$48
$48
a year.
And what do you get? What comes with that kind of package?
You get our Venture Inward magazine, which, as you said, has great articles in it. This month's feature article is on creating balance in your life with feng shui. And then the magazine also has updates on various topics of interest that Casey mentioned. We have a great article in there on medical intuitives this month and the upcoming medical intuitive conference. And in addition to that, you get your choice of... 1 of 3 newsletters, depending on your topic of interest. One, my personal favorite is a 4-page a newsletter on ancient mysteries, where we talk about current research being done is looking for the Hall of Records or for Atlantis, and actually ARE sponsors research to the tune of $50,000 to $100,000 a year, looking for lost civilizations, and have had some amazing discoveries, all of which are on the website.
Well, I have imported from Egypt Past Life Connection for 20 years, and I have to tell you, every year I'd go, I'd wait. I would think, this is the year they're going to have the Hall of Records, you know?
Yep.
I just have a passion for it.
We have an Ancient Mysteries Conference every October that has updates, and we also have a tour every year to Egypt. And, in fact, Charles Thomas Casey is leading our tour this year to Egypt, so that should be a good one.
Yeah, we wanted to mention the tourists. They go to Egypt, India, Peru, I mean, just almost every ancient site you could dream of.
Even Sedona.
With amazing people.
Which isn't ancient, but we're going to Sedona this September as well. So in addition to the Ancient Mysteries newsletter, we have another newsletter on True Health, which is really an approach to holism, mind-body-spirit healing, current trends in healthcare, current Trends in Energy Medicine. That's a fascinating newsletter as well. And then we have another newsletter on personal spirituality, how to meditate, how to work effectively with prayer, anything related to what you might think of as your own personal spiritual growth. And the interesting thing that most members of ARE do not know, and I'll bet you don't know it either, is regardless of what newsletter you subscribe to, all three of them are available online for you for free in the members-only section.
I didn't know that. And you know what? I'm not that computer literate. I'm really working at it because it's such a resource. We have to get literate on that computer.
Yeah, so you can get all three of them online. It's just we mail you one as part of your membership.
One other thing I want to mention about the ARE is the ARE really has supported up-and-coming people. You know, people who weren't, quote-unquote, on the metaphysical circuit, I guess I want to say. You know, there's a time period when whole lives were big, and there was people on that kind of circuit type thing. But, you know, the ARE's been doing this, you know, for so long, bringing in developed, educated people to lay foundations for meditation, for health, for near-death experience, mediumship, you know, because really Edgar Cayce was a trance medium. And really not a lot was publicized or really known. There's a few, if you go back, you know, there's Arthur Ford and Eileen Garrett and a few others that were well-studied. But really, truly, during the time period of Edgar Cayce, he was really intensely studied to the point of being absolutely abused by skeptics of the day. And, I mean, having his nails ripped out while he was in trance and everything. A lot of people don't know that he really was scientifically studied, certainly not treated very well at times, because this was such a phenomena that people couldn't explain. And I was reading Jackson Davis not long ago and really found out that he had a similar gift where he would go into trance and do medical intuitive. But really, Cayce's the most well-known.
He is, and you mentioned how he actually had started our conference programs back in 1932, and we've done conferences ever since then, starting with our annual membership conference, which expanded to year-round conferences. But his goal was really to bring together people like himself in a variety of fields, whether it was health or intuition or spiritualism or whatever it might be, and have them make a presentation on a topic so that when we, for example, just let's say we do a conference on Jesus. We might have a very straightforward Christian. We might have a rabbi. We might have a theologian, an educator. And everyone talks about Jesus from their perspective, and then the audience gets to decide what they resonate to. And that was Cayce's goal, that we would never have a dogma, but we would instead present a topic, including his perspective on that topic, and bring together experts in the field from a variety of perspectives. So whether it's energy medicine now, or intuition, or holism, or ancient mysteries, or whatever you can think of, that's really the goal of conferences. And I think Cayce started it because, like you say, he at first thought maybe people would accept him through the scientific research that was done and then abused. And he instead turned to people who did similar things to what he did in a variety of fields and felt like that they could help each other.
Well, I think we're all in search of our own species.
Right.
You know, I know I was. And when I found, you know, the Edgar Cayce book and I found out someone else had it, certainly I'm not like Edgar Cayce. I would never even dream to say I'm close to Edgar Cayce. But, you know, whatever level your psychic ability is, to find someone who has that really helps you think, oh, God, I'm not insane. You know, that there, I am my own normal, and there are other people that have this as part of their normal. And so I'm sure you save thousands of people from, you know, committing themselves to the loony bin because they found out that, oh, you know, other people are experiencing dreams. Other people are experiencing out-of-body experiences. Other people have connections of deja vu and past life. So, you know, the ARE is a great resource for... I really want to go back to kids because I do think places like the ARE are really the mecca of spirituality and a place where this next generation, and you being someone who was 16 and came to this, thank God, you know, the indigo, the rainbow, I don't want to label them because I believe we're all masters, you know, and and labels are going to go by the wayside. But these kids that for them it's more acceptable, more their norm, there's more books out on it, have some place that can go to and be involved in the your camp programs, use the internet. These kids are whizzes on the internet. And certainly know that there's a library and a support system in the Atlanta University.
And
all
even
resources.
I think that the internet has become a lifeline for so many people who might be out in a rural area or all by themselves. That our study groups, our Search for God study groups, actually have online groups. So we actually have people who are in South Dakota meeting with people who are in Norway, meeting with people in California, who are people in Australia, and they're all in the same study group, even though they're separated by thousands of miles.
And you can join the online study group, but you can also form your own study group.
Absolutely.
Based on the ARE material, and the ARE will help you. They have like
Absolutely.
Information on how to kind of do that, or start the Search of God group based on the Red Book.
That's right.
Yeah. The other one, you know, I have to ask this question. You know, I do. I have to ask: does the ARE think that Edgar Cayce is reincarnated?
Well, it actually comes up so often, and I'm not making this up. Where people
no, everybody's asking me lately, so I got to ask.
It comes up so often where people even present themselves as Edgar Cayce reincarnated that we had to create a form letter for it that goes out. That I mean, we get inundated with people who think they're the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce.
Wow!
And basically, the form letter states this: that Edgar Cayce was a personality. And that personality is not going to reincarnate. And it's very much like the story in the Bible where in the Old Testament it said that Elijah had to come again before the Messiah could incarnate.
Mm-hmm.
And the apostles eventually realized that Jesus was the Messiah. So they asked him, well, if you're the Messiah, where's Elijah? And he told them that Elijah had come, and they knew him not, and it was John the Baptist. So
right.
This is background. Cayce did say in readings that John the Baptist had been the reincarnation of Elijah.
Right.
But when they asked John the Baptist straightforward in the Bible written there, are you Elijah? His response is, no, I'm John. And so essentially what's going to happen is Edgar Cayce's personality is not going to return. But I think that Edgar Cayce, because of the level of development he was at, will know he was Edgar Cayce. He will not announce it because it will detract from whatever work he's trying to do this next time around. He's not going to come back and try to get a free membership license from ARE or anything.
Do you think aspects of him can be projected back?
I think that people, oftentimes what happens, and this actually came up when Edgar Cayce was alive, that a man presented himself saying he was the reincarnation of President James A. Garfield, and that other psychics had even said he was James A. Garfield,
mm-hmm.
and Cayce said that he had been one of Garfield's best friends and so emulated Garfield that this time around he was actually tuning into that personality but was not Garfield. And I think that because Cayce was doing the work he's done essentially for 12,000 years in a variety of incarnations.
He deserves a break.
Well, people are part of that soul group and they're resonating to Edgar Cayce, the man, and trying to take on that personality rather than doing whatever work they're here.
But I also think just as Edgar Cayce could go back into the Akashic Records, so can others. So certainly a person could be tapping into that resource, too,
well,
and then get confused about what is and isn't their personal destiny.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say that definitely we all tap into the Akashic Records, even though we don't know that that's what we're doing, and that the real Edgar Cayce is not going to say I was Edgar Cayce.
I would think that. I would think, in my work, from my own work, most of the time when someone has an aspect or is connected with someone, say perhaps Virgin Mary or whatever, they don't say it.
Right.
The ones that do say it, something's going on. Because, you know, most of the time when you're the real deal, you just don't have a need to say anything. You just are.
Right. And plus, if you get several of these real deals in the same room together, they have very different reasons why they're the one and why this other person can't be. And we've done that on occasion as well.
Oh, I'm sure. I think that will be a debate till the end of time, whether or not he'll come back. And I think because of his legacy of reincarnation, that will be always on someone's mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we'll just have to wait for the next several decades to find out what's the adventure is going to be. But you would have to trust his own work, you know, because he really talked in his readings about who he was, Ra-Ta, and his life in Egypt, and some of these other things. And so anyone who is a Cayceite and reads that material would certainly have a profound sense of whether he will come back or not.
Mm-hmm.
I know, I have to tell you, anyone who's interested in Atlantis and Bimini and all of that, Airy has probably the biggest legacy on research on that. I was fascinated about it for many, many years and did a lot of research. I have to tell you, sitting in that room with that man's life, a collection of books around me, was profound.
And they,
because we
like,
still don't have all the answers.
Right, like we said earlier, there's so much research that we've done on our own search for Atlantis that people can look at on the website, that it's just amazing what some of the things they've discovered.
So, Kevin, what's the next step for you? Because obviously now that you are the executive director and CEO of the ARI, that's going to consume a lot of the time that you will not be able to do a lot of research to do books right away, because you're going to be handling a lot of the ARI. I mean, it's a huge responsibility.
Right, well,
of its growth.
Just before this happened, I wrote my most book on migration. And that's out, but mostly I'm spending my time now as a cheerleader, getting the Casey information out in a variety of ways, especially Spanish and Chinese.
Good.
If we can do English, Spanish, and Chinese, we can cover the world.
I hate to say my time's up. Kevin, thank you so very much for this interview. It's a dream come true for me to get to talk to you
on the program
and to share my love of the ARI. And so make sure you do check the websites, www.edgarcasey.org. There's a variety of ways. Look on that website to find a local connection. Find your way to the ARI any way you can. You will not regret it. Thank you, Kevin, so much for a wonderful show.
Thank you.
And remember to let your heart light shine, to light your way and the way for others. Until we talk again, remember to stay wrapped in the wings of the